Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 22. The Reverend Dr. Quentin Cundiff is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our scripture reading today is from Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Our Lord says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." This is the word of the Lord. Our grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That sounds like a Matthew 18 situation. Have you followed Matthew 18? Statements like these are a common refrain among us Christians, and rightly so. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us clear directions for how to handle the inevitable situations that arise wherein we are incensed at someone else's behavior. And what does our Lord tell us to do? He tells us to go and speak to that person. Not send an angry email. He doesn't tell us to pull out our phones and make a vague social media post that might be referring to the situation or might not be, but if you know what's going on, then really you know what the person is saying. He doesn't tell us to go and find our friends and start complaining about this other person. He tells us to go to the person and talk to them. But unfortunately, texts such as this one that are very familiar can fall victim to that very same familiarity. We think we know this well enough, so we don't need to look at it any closer. And what happens often is that we remember only the first part of our Lord's teaching. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Full stop. And we stop thinking. We say, sure, I can do that. We're all pretty well skilled at being able to tell someone how terrible they are. And for those of us who are less confrontational than others, perhaps you're just really good at saying it in your own head, but you're still good at it. Telling people that they're bad at their job. They're bad at talking to other people. They're bad theologians. They're bad Christians. They are bad people. And we remember that if the person won't listen to us about how terrible they are, well, then we get to bring some witnesses and eventually see them expelled. And there we go. We have followed Matthew 18. And what we end up doing is leaving behind us a trail of broken people and a path of destruction. I'm sure that many of you can think of some good examples of that very chain of events taking place. We say that we handled everything according to this text, but devastation is the result. Now, to be fair, sometimes that's just simply the outcome. After all, sin is a serious thing. And it is no surprise to see it create negative consequences. Scripture tells us that the sin which is conceived in our hearts eventually gives birth to death. But how much more often have we seen this text abused? Remember that the whole point of our Lord's teaching here is to gain your brother. That doesn't mean gaining victory over our brothers. It means repairing and retaining the relationships that exist within the church. And yet people have been abused and discarded while this text was used as a screen to justify their treatment. This is the reason why unbelievers often look on the church and see an army that shoots its own wounded. And we who serve in this building would do well to remember that a careless word or a mishandled situation can lead to real devastation for real people. Make no mistake, such behavior is not excused by our Lord in Matthew 18. In truth, the intention here is that we should show our brother his fault is meant for repentance, restoration, and reconciliation, not for destruction, defacement, and death. This is clear to us when we keep reading further in Matthew 15, 17. Our Lord continues, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." The binding and loosing of sins is, of course, power that Christ has given to his whole church. It's part of his authority that is his as our Redeemer. And as our Redeemer, we see that Jesus desires for the loosing of sins. He binds where it is necessary, but he looses sin wherever and whenever he can, wherever he finds true repentance. And so it is and should be for us. When we speak with someone about their sins, we should not be looking for the opportunity to crush them, but we should be looking for them to repent so that the life-giving word of forgiveness can be declared to them in Jesus' name. And what's more, our Lord reminds us that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. We often tie these words to our understanding of worship, and indeed our Lord is here with us when we gather in his name to receive his gifts, but our Lord is also there in those private conversations. How would you correct a coworker or even a subordinate if you were doing it in front of Jesus? How would you interact with people in your church if you could look over and see Jesus standing in the corner, watching your behavior? I'm reminded of that detail in Luke's gospel, that the third time when Peter denied knowing Jesus, the Lord turns and looks at him. All he has to do is look. And Peter runs out and weeps bitterly because of his sin. Indeed, in these days of Lent, we take stock of ourselves and we examine our own hearts to see how clouded with sin they are. It becomes difficult for us to remove the speck from our brother's eye when we come to the realization of exactly how large the plank is in our own eye. And it is for this reason that we must all come before our Lord Jesus Christ and kneel at his pierced feet. We must come before our Lord in repentance for our sins, begging that he would place his hands upon us, hands that still bear the marks of his crucifixion for us. You see, when we correct our fellow Christians, we do it not out of a sense of judgment or out of self-righteousness, but out of a desire that they would rightly join us before our Lord, recognizing our sins. That together we might hear those blessed words once again from our Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven. Now, I am no fool. Of course, there are consequences for sins, earthly consequences for sins. There are times that a person's sins have caused such harm that they can no longer be given a position of authority. But even in those kinds of situations, true repentance should be sought, and a posture of seeking justice and righteousness should be maintained by all involved. For in all things, we remember that our Lord tells the same Peter, who would later deny him, that we must forgive our brother 77 times. For Jesus forgave Peter far more than 7 times 77 times. And Jesus forgives you and me far more. For our Lord desires to see us freed from the bondage of our sins. So let us treat one another in such a way that also seeks to free them from their sins, that we may all give thanks to God for the forgiveness that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.